Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Carrie Sue Taraskis, is a wife, mom, and devotional writer. For the last 23 years, she and her family have lived on a small farm in Northern California, raising many farm animals and growing and preserving their food. Whether it's singing in the church choir, teaching children, or leading and lecturing at a women's Bible study, Carrie Sue loves to demonstrate her love for Jesus by giving to him in service. Good morning, Carrie Sue. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Patty, for having me join you. I'm overwhelmed and humbled by God's grace, and so I'm so happy to be here.
Carrie Sue, I'm excited to have you too. It is such a blessing, the people that the Lord leads me to this show, people that I never had contact with before, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, there they are. That's God's hand, so I'm so blessed to have you with us today. Well, for the past two decades, you and your family have managed a small farm, and that really resonated with me because many years ago, I used to go visit my great aunt and uncle's farm up in Connecticut, and it was some of my most treasured memories of childhood. So tell us how you see God manifest himself in farm life.
Okay, so I'm a city girl, grew up in L.A., as in Los Angeles, California, my whole family. I'm a third generation Californian. My children are fourth generation. And it was, you know, city life. I didn't know any different. However, I always had a longing for the farm. My husband and I, he's from Southern California as well. And we always had this longing to get away from the sidewalks. And we never thought it would happen. So when an opportunity came, his company asked if he would want to open up an office, a Northern California office. We prayed about it, and we looked at each other and said, we can't believe this is happening. And we said yes. God made it very clear that he wanted us here. We left our entire family. I felt like an Abraham. I likened that whole journey to Abraham, leaving and just following God. And so we live in, we're just south of Sacramento on a little farm in a, we don't even have a stoplight in our community. Okay. It's just very rural. Farm life is all about God. I see him everywhere. Whether I'm pulling weeds in the garden and you can see weeds to me, so that if you don't take care of sin right away, they just keep growing and growing and growing. So every time I'm pulling weeds, I always think about, you know, take every thought captive, you know, really have a short leash as far as sin, for sure. All the animals that we've had, we've raised quite a few through the years. And I've just seen the beauty of creation when a new, you know, we've had lambs born on our property. We've had baby chicks. We've had turkeys. We've had geese. We had horses born on our property. New life by way of just plants. We've seen the stars many, many times. You'll find us sitting out in our pasture watching the meteor showers. And, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after night, day after day, they display his knowledge. Night after night, they, you know, they're up there. So when I see, we're just right below the Milky Way. So when I see all of that, it's overwhelming. We've had lots and lots and lots of farm stories, lots of animal stories. The biggest story of all, and how God manifests himself here in our home, as we homeschooled for 20 years. And our farm was the biggest science project ever. My children learned in that environment and became and are now serving the Lord and walking with him. And it's just what God did. That's how we used our farm, is to mold and shape our family and my children's lives. I can't give any more testimony to that. And I wanted to share at the top that there's a verse that came to me yesterday. It's, come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. Psalm 66, verse 16. And God has done a lot for me and for my family.
Carrie Sue, I love the verse, and I love what you just told us about how you left the city life, the stoplights and the traffic and all of the busyness, to live on this farm, and oh, how wonderful your life sounds, and what a fantastic way to raise your children. So I'm a little envious. I also live in a very small town, and I have a few acres out here that I don't do much with, but I always enjoy the fact that I tell people my neighbors are cows. Yes, like you say, there are so many lessons to be learned from plant life, from animal life, and it sounds like you have just taken advantage of every moment. I can just hear the joy in your voice when you talk about your lifestyle.
Yes, God is so good. I mean, have we had hard times? Yes, double yes. When we lived down in Orange County, super busy, you know, I mean, we were super involved in church, super busy, but we didn't have an identity as a family. And so when he pulled us, I mean, really, I likened this whole journey to Abraham. When he pulled us up here, we became a family and a unit and a family unit. We had this, we didn't know a soul up here. We knew nobody. And so we had to really pull together. And my youngest was 6 months old when we moved up here. And the house we moved into, I didn't even want. It was trash. There's purple wallpaper, foil wallpaper on the walls. I couldn't even see beyond the foil. And, yeah, I called my dad. I didn't want it. And God, oh, I learned submission because my husband wanted it. Everybody else wanted it. And the Lord said, here's your opportunity, Carrie, to learn submission. I've never really gone against my husband ever. But the Lord said, you need to submit, and I'm going to bless you when you submit. And so I looked at my husband and said, okay, let's do it. And so the very next conversation, I got on the phone. We were driving to the airport because we had to fly up here to look at the place. I called my dad and said, Dad, can you come and live in our house for a couple of months to get it ready for us? And he did. He graciously came and gave us a few months of his life to paint walls and fill holes. Yeah, this bratty little girl had to learn submission. This house, I could name this house Submission, and it would be aptly named.
Well, it sounds like it was quite an experience.
Literally, we had foil in a couple of the rooms, in one of the bathrooms, and it was orange and brown, you know, and the kitchen was orange and blue. And I could not see past that. And so God just said, are you going to trust me?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, I guess that's what makes the world go round, is people's different tastes, but oh my goodness.
Exactly.
Carrie, you sing in your church choir and you teach people of all ages about Jesus, and this is your passion. When did Jesus become an integral part of your life? Did you grow up in a Christian home, or did you become a Christian later on in life?
Okay, so this is kind of a delicate subject, but I did not grow up in a Christian home, anything but a Christian home. It was very, very, very difficult. My parents were divorced when I was very young. I have there's three of us siblings. I have an older sister. I'm in the middle, and then a younger brother, but we're only three and a half years apart. And my mom and my dad were 20 by the time they had all three of us. So they were extremely young. And yes, that attributes, you can tell, to just, they were children raising children, basically. But I think they met their 10th anniversary and they were divorced. And I basically grew up with a mom that was working many jobs, an abandoned dad. My mom didn't really know how to parent. And so my sister became the parent. And mind you, she was a year older than me. And mm-hmm. So at 10 and 11 and 12 years old, Julie, my sister, was making breakfasts and lunches and dinners and doing laundry. And, you know, I was oblivious to a lot of things. I think that was the way that God allowed me to cope with that. Fast forward, I was a very bitter young woman in high school just because of trauma in every corner. I'm leaving out a lot, but there was a lot of trauma. My sister became a believer. She was probably a sophomore, maybe a freshman. I think maybe she was a freshman in high school, and she had her church to begin praying for her family and specifically for me. I did not know that. I mocked my sister. I called her a Jesus freak. Too much to my horror, I did that. One day she had moved out after she graduated from high school because she just needed to get out. And I went and stayed with her during this particular summer. And it was the summer before my senior year in high school. She and her boyfriend, they had secretly gotten engaged 2 days before this particular night. But I didn't know they had gotten engaged. But they had gone to a college career Bible study. And they said, hey, my whole family calls me Sue. Hey, Sue, do you want to come to Bible study? And I don't know why I said yes, but I did. And I went. I don't remember anything of the Bible study except for the car ride home. For some reason, I went home with Jeff, my future brother-in-law, and he pulled over into a gas station parking lot. And we had known Jeff. They had dated forever, probably 5 years or something. So at this point, Jeff was pretty much part of the family. Jeff right. pulled over and into it was a Tuesday night, August 19th. And he looked at me and said, "So, Sue, what are you going to do about this Jesus?" And I looked at him and I said, "He's what I've been looking for my entire life."
Uh-huh.
And so every year on August 19th, I call up Jeff and say, "Thank you for sharing the gospel with me, this very bratty child, very bitter person." And from that moment on, I have not looked back. It has been straightforward with the Lord. He has been amazing to me. So that was a Tuesday night. And then on Sunday, I went to church where my sister had been, they had been praying. And it was a celebration. I did not know that they had been praying for me for 3 years. When I went there, it was as if I came home. And they discipled me. They loved me. I actually went and lived with a family for a summer. And then I finally got to see what a real family look like, you know, with a husband and wife and children that love one another. That foundation that God gave to me really is my foundation of my walk with Him. It was right before my senior year when I came to know the Lord.
Wow, what a powerful story. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now you've got me in tears. Thank you so much. We'll take a break here where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is devotional writer Carrie Sue Tarafskis. If you would like to listen to this episode again or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at Patty Sheen, that's spelled PattiSheene.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a More Information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Carrie Sue. Well, as you know, on this show, I interview people who have been in a dark place, and obviously you have. We talk about how people have found their way back to light, or we talk about people who have a ministry or writing ministry, creative endeavor of some kind that leads others back to light. And like most Christians, even though you became a Christian as a senior, that doesn't mean that your life was all sweet roses after that. And you have experienced some adversity in your life beyond what you already shared. And you've shared a couple with me. Is there something today that you would really like to share that has been a type of challenge?
Yeah. And this will tie in with why I'm writing. Yeah, my husband and I have experienced heartbreak. We've had miscarriages. We thought we were going to be in the mission field for life. We were in the mission field for 3.5 years, and we had said our goodbyes to everybody here. But God called us home, and it took us 20 years to get over that. Our hearts and missions, and our son, our oldest, was born in Guatemala. So
wow.
We didn't understand. It literally took 20 years for us to, okay, Lord, you're sovereign. 20 years. And it's not that we were feeding that herd or anything, but it was a place of, okay, Lord, you are sovereign, you know.
Right.
But in 2013, I had what was to be a routine gallbladder surgery, and it turned out anything but. Bottom line, I was basically, they did a robotic surgery to remove the gallbladder. And bottom line is I was electrocuted while the surgery was happening with the probe from that machine. So, yeah.
Oh.
Didn't know, doctors didn't admit. However, a very high up doctor at Stanford brought that to my attention. And by then the statutes of limitations, and we're not the suing kind of people, but it was, you know, I registered with the FDA. I believe I'm one of these, you know, that kind of a thing. It was awful. I was incapacitated for 4.5 years. I could do things, but it was very limited. It affected my whole right side, mid side. And it was during that time, that's my first affliction. I've had 2. I'm in the middle of the second one. But during that time, God had me, a friend of mine, her name is Lori, said, Carrie, you know, you need to be writing. And I looked at her, what? You know, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, if you write, I will create a blog for you. And, you know, I never read blogs. So this was a new, that was a huge step of faith. So I went, as God laid things on my heart, I was not consistent nor disciplined in writing at this point. As God laid things on my heart, I would type them up and I would send it over to Lori. And she would find graphics and, you know, she created the website, all this. So she did it all. I did that. And we prayed and prayed and prayed for my healing. I finally found somebody who was brand new, kind of did manual therapy and this really, I don't even remember the type of thing that he did. But I went in to him and nothing changed. He said he knew what was wrong with me. It had a lot of things that, because of the problem, the electrocution, things had kind of seared together in my abdominal cavity, my liver, and was stuck to my rib cage. You know, it was bad. Through much twisting and turning and pushing and prodding, he unstuck a lot of things. But I didn't really feel, quote unquote, healed. Oh, and I had had an emergency visit. I was anaphylactic from allergies. And so it was a really rough week. So I was home resting. The rest of the family was all at work. They all worked together at the same office doing different things. I'm by myself. It's unusual for me to be by myself. This one, it was a Friday morning, July 20th, 2018. I was by myself. I was just reading scripture, doing my devotions in the morning. And the Lord said, you are healed. Now start proclaiming my goodness to others. So God said to me, Carrie, you are healed. Now proclaim my goodness to others. I was shocked. I was just literally doing my Bible study, you know, doing my devotions in the morning. And it was clear, crystal clear, that the Lord said, you are healed and walk in that healing. I immediately got a hold of my family and I told them, we just had a worship service, like amazing, incredible. And one of the things we had told the Lord and said, if you heal me, I will proclaim your goodness from the platform. We go to a big church, from the platform. I will testify. I had a clamshell thing that I wore around my middle, this huge apparatus that I would wear to keep me from, it really helped keep me upright and help kind of contain everything. I had that. I would use a wheelchair if we were going long distance. You know, it was awful. So I called the pastors, hey, this is what happened. They said, yeah, by all means, get up here, let's testify. And then on that day too, we had told the Lord, if you heal, you know, when you do this, we will have a lunch. Our family will provide the lunch for our church. And we did. My whole entire family, my siblings, everybody came and we served enchiladas and, you know, rice and beans and all this kind of stuff after church. It was a true worship service. That was in 2018. Fast forward, beginning of the month before COVID. And so, mind you, I was writing, but it was very sporadic when I would send stuff to Lori. It wasn't consistent. You know, I would just write whatever God put on my heart. So, I mean, I don't even know how many I did, maybe 24 blogs, not very many, for 4.5 years. And then right before the pandemic, the month before the pandemic, my girls and I, we looked at each other and said, let's go to Disneyland. And we're 400 miles from Disneyland. But it was a kind of a last-minute decision. It was after Bible study that I teach. I teach and lecture at a women's Bible study every Tuesday. I was co-lecturing at the time with a very dear friend. And we just said, let's just do it after Bible study. We'll haul down to Disneyland. We'll go the next day. Then we'll come back really short, leaving the boys behind, my son and my husband. And let's just do this thing. We went down. They had a blast. Scooped our boys on the Star Wars land. You know, we grew up going to Disneyland. It's kind of a thing in our family. And so it was really, we had a wonderful time. But my feet really hurt as we were walking back to our hotel. And I thought, man, it's been a long day. We probably put in 11 to 18 miles a day trekking all over the park. So you don't really think much about it, right? We're in our hotel. I wake up the next morning because we're going to drive home. And I got out of bed and I fell back into bed immediately. I could not bear weight on my feet at all. We have a problem. I looked at my girls and said, you know what? I don't know what's going on, but I can't even move. So I called my husband and I said, you know, his name is John. I said, John, you know, I'm in tears. I don't know what to do. Please pray. We got to get home. And my oldest daughter, she was a drive. You know, they drive. She was driving. The other one had wasn't driving yet, but she hadn't done LA traffic. And when you do LA traffic is a beast. And so you kind of have to know what you do. Yeah. So I looked at her, her name is Rebecca. And I said, Rebecca, you're going to have to drive home. You know, you're going to have to listen to me when you're driving LA traffic because, you know, I grew up doing it. And are you willing to do it? She says, yeah, you know, I'll do it. Great sky with me at home. And which I'm not, you know, I'm totally confident of driving. It's not that. It's just such a learning curve. On the way home, my right foot kind of settled down. And then my left foot became a problem. It just continued to be a problem. Got a hold of my doctor that week and said, you know, hey, I don't know what's going on, but there's something wrong with my foot. And he said, you know, the rice, you know, rest, ice, compression, and elevate. So I did all that. And a couple weeks, it still was bad. And I went in, got the x-rays, and he said, you know, I don't really see anything, but continue with that routine and, you know, just kind of monitor it. My husband and I went to Death Valley on a trip with our dear friend, co-leader, the co-lecturer I was with in Bible study. We went to Death Valley. And that's when, so we came back, that's when the world shut down, right? Pandemic. We literally, the next day, I was dealing with this one foot. And then it became both feet very quickly after that Death Valley coming right back. Nobody went anywhere. Everybody was scared. And here I have two feet that are not operating very well. What do? I needed to go get medical care. You didn't go to medical care at that point. I don't know if you remember all that, but, you know, you just didn't do that thing. And so we live, you know, we're pretty far away from stuff. For me to go to town is, you know, we're 18 minutes out of town. And to go to the doctor is 45 minutes. You know, it's that kind of a thing. We just kind of jimmy-rigged for me to be home. Everybody else is home. So if you're going to have broken feet, the pandemic's a good time to have it. Because everybody else is home, you know. So timing was, you know, God's sense of humor. I look at it as, Carrie, you know, you're going to be home, but everybody else is home. But it was a good time for me to kind of settle down. It was that Mother's Day, that first Mother's Day. Everybody's watching church online, including our family. I had my feet by this time, my son, he said, I can't handle watching you hobble around. You scare me. We don't know what's wrong with you. The doctors don't know what's wrong with you. He said, why don't we buy you those post-surgery boots, you know, those big black clunky things. He said, let's buy those. At least your foot can be stable. So two of them, so not both feet, right? And I said, yeah, I'm for that. You know, let's do that because my family, they would look at me and they were horrified. I couldn't. I was hobbling everywhere. I was almost crawling. I couldn't get around. It was bad. So I got those. So on that particular Mother's Day, we're sitting, all of us are watching church online. And the blessing song, that was, remember when the blessing song came out and we're all crying. I'm bawling my eyes out. All my family's around me, everybody singing parts in harmony. It was surreal. It was during that morning God spoke to me and said, you need to write. Why are you running from that call that I gave to you all those years ago? Why are you not writing? Why are you running? And I submitted and said, Lord, you're right. I am sorry. And what am I going to write about? He said, you need to write about finding my sovereignty in your suffering. Oh, my. Okay, Lord, I don't know how to do this. How can I tell others what you're telling me? How can I do this? And he just said, trust me. You need to write about me in your suffering. And it's going to look different. And it's going to be different because it's so personal. Suffering is suffering. There's suffering and consequences of sin. And then there's suffering. You didn't do anything. I was just walking to Disneyland. People get in car accidents. They're just, you know, things happen. You get cancer, whatever. Yes. And God said, you need to bring hope. You need to bring hope through your suffering. Whether I heal you or not is not for you to know. You are to walk faithfully. You are to endure. So during this process, so it's been 3.5 years that I've been dealing with broken feet, and I am very much in the middle of all of it still. Through that whole time, the doctors did not know what was wrong. I went back to that guy that helped me with my side. His name is Lino, and he said, I know exactly what's wrong with you. You have broken feet. Your cuboid bones have been dislocated, and because you bared weight on them for 8 months, at this point, it was 8 months when I saw him, he said that you have damage is beyond belief. He said, okay, I can help you, but it's going to take a long time to recover. because of the damage. Sure enough, it's taken a long time. Here we still are, you know. We go up and see him. My husband and I drive super early. We leave the house around 6. He's up in Sacramento. It's 45 minutes away. He tapes my feet. He puts my feet back in place. He does all kinds of things to me because the doctors misdiagnosed or undiagnosed the problem. It's a common athletic problem. It's a cuboid of kickers and ballerinas and things like that. That bone is, so it's really pivotal for your foot. But it just happens to be both feet because of the long-term damage. We're trying to undo that. One foot, my right, is responding really well. The left is still the battleground. So it's been, let me tell you, still mostly in my room. I was literally in my room for a year, did not leave my room. And mind you, this all happened during the pandemic, so it was kind of convenient, you know. But I did drive for 2.5 years, you know, all those, just extrapolate that out. Just, you know, I haven't gone grocery shopping in 3.5 years. I don't do laundry. I don't, then my children, my youngest daughter doesn't let me cook. I just started driving, I don't know, 6 months ago. So my life is drastically different, 100% drastically different. But I found that you can plan a wedding. I've planned 2 weddings, actually, sitting in a chair. I planned a Bible study sitting in a chair. I'm writing from a chair. I can pray. I can learn. I'm writing a Bible study from a chair. I'm writing devotionals from a chair. You can do a lot of things from a chair, which I never thought was possible. God had to set me down and just say, girl, you need to focus. You need to focus on me. You need to focus on what's most important. And what's most important is finding me in your everyday life and finding my sovereignty in your suffering. That's where the writing began there. And I started right away. I'm consistent. I write a blog every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to write on. And the Lord just starts working on my heart. Usually it's on Thursday. He starts working on, you're going to write about this one verse. And it's usually something very much, very real time in my life. What I'm reading, what I'm studying. If I'm preparing for a lecture, because I was lecturing, right now we're on a summer break, but lecturing very much was part of what I was lecturing on, studying. I joined Hope Writers, and birthed out of that was my relationship with Alexis. She does the devotional writing Hope Circle, and I just kind of saw her name, and I saw a blurb about it in the Facebook group for Hope Writers, and I got a hold of Alexis, and I said, I think I kind of fall in this genre of writing. I don't even know. You know, and I've read devotionals. I mean, My Utmost for a Science. I mean, who hasn't read that, right? And then Charles Spurgeon has a devotional. It's called Morning and Evening, which I absolutely love. I'm currently reading Corrie Ten Boom devotional, which hers are more. They're called Reflections. They're much smaller. And then I'm reading another devotion. So, you know, I've read devotionals, but never written one. But then looking back, my husband and I are hosts for our Sunday school class, and I write a mini devotional every week when I send out our class email. I didn't know what that was called. I had no idea. And I've been doing that for like 10 years. So I went back. My husband said, you know what? Yeah, he said, Carrie, that's what that is. Really? That's what that is? You know, there's probably a 200 to 300 word count. I didn't know. I was just doing what God laid on my heart. So I started writing these devotionals, and it's literally the experience. Where do I find material? Well, I just got to look around. I'm listening. I'm talking with somebody. They're usually birthed out of my own study time. A verse, the one that I read at the top of this pot, you know, this interview, come and listen, all you who fear God, let me tell you what God has done for me. I can write a devotional about that. And God has challenged me to write more than one devotional using the same verse because his word is alive. And you think, oh, that's kind of crazy. Let me tell you, it's not. He had me do it this lesson about a month ago. I wrote 3 different devotionals on the same verse, back to back. God is not alive, and God's word is not alive. Then that's proof that he is. And they were all vastly different, and they're for different audiences. The same message is about finding his sovereignty in our suffering. And what do you do with suffering? What do you do with it?
Yes.
What I've learned, how much time do you have? You know, hours and hours and hours. But I will, the most significant thing that I've learned, other than the fact that God is sovereign and that God is my warrior God, Exodus 15:3, that is my life first. God is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. That's Exodus 15:3. But the other is in John 15. Everybody, all of us love this. You know, you abide in me, I abide in you. We love that, you know. It sounds so romantic. Remain in me and I will remain. Doesn't that sound romantic when you say that? Remain.
Yes,
I love
does.
You know, people will say their word for the year is remain. Oh, that sounds romantic, right? Remain. Oh, I love that. Grab onto that. Or abide. Oh man, I love, you know, abide. I'm gonna abide and all that. But you know what also? With the equal sign. Remain equals abide equals endure. It's the same word. I don't like that word. I don't like endure. Who wants to endure suffering? Nobody, you know? But when, and I literally, okay, let me grab my Bible. I literally had prayed this. Little did I know, probably, oh, maybe a year before my feet, okay? This is my prayer. I wish I would have dated it. I didn't, but I wish I would have. This was my prayer to the Lord. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in the death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. When I look back and I think what I did not know what I was praying, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I did not know what that meant. I focused on, I want to know Christ. God wanted me to focus and is focusing on me on having fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. It is not an easy road. I've wanted out so many times. I've told him I quit countless times. Paul said he prayed 3 times that God would remove his affliction. I prayed a million times that God would do that.
Mm-hmm.
God has shown me, have faith and believe, hold on. My favorite story and my favorite healing story in the Bible is the woman with the issue of blood. I've written devotionals. I've written blogs on that same passage, probably 6 times. And I've taught on that more about that many, that same path, that story. And I still find new things because it's by faith that we're healed. You know, I can't do anything. I can't do one more thing to be healed. I can't do anything about this. This is clearly from the Lord. He pretty much within the first year, the Lord told me, this is from my hand. People want to say, God doesn't allow suffering. Yeah, he does. If I'm going to call him sovereign, I have to recognize that everything filters through his hand. Everything. The good and the bad. I have to, because it doesn't make sense if I choose to say that God's only a good God when he does good things. No, it says in Psalm 119, I think it's verse 68, God, you are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. He says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. If I only accept what God comes from God, that's good, and I reject everything that comes from him that's bad, then I'm saying that he's not sovereign. So I have to look at everything, even suffering, as good from him. I don't like it anymore, the next person. That's where he's boiled it down to, for me, to that place. Are you still going to call me good? Are you still going to do that? Still good. And what he does is good, and he's doing it for my good. That's Romans 8:28. For according to Christ Jesus, he's working for his glory and my good in Christ Jesus. For me, it includes suffering, physical suffering that I did not bring upon myself. I was walking to Disneyland. There was nothing. Millions of people have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And And so so the question that you have for me, Patty, is here, how did your faith help you find your way out of that dark time?
Right.
Holding on to Jesus, holding on. When I asked Lino, the guy that's helping my feet, I was probably 1.5 years into it. We were going up there at that time twice a week. And mind you, that's leaving our house at 6 a.m. in the morning. My husband would drive me up there. Lena would take me up. I have athletic tape on my feet as we speak. If you look at athletes that are running, you know, football players, all the tape, that's what I have on my feet.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked at Lena and I said, what's the prognosis for this thing? Have you seen many people like this? He goes, oh, yeah, I see them all the time. And I said, well, how long or what do they look like later on? And he was silent. And I looked at him and I said, no, you need to tell me. I need to know. And he said, well, I can't really tell you. And I looked at him, why? He said, because they take their own life.
Oh, my
you
goodness.
Mean to,
oh, no.
I said, you mean to tell me that what I have, people commit suicide over? He goes, yeah, because the pain is so intense and it's so long to endure that they give up. So let me tell you that God is using this in his life, in Lino's life, and everybody in his clinic, everybody in my family. I didn't sign up for this.
No,
you know?
You didn't.
And he looks at me and he says, Carrie, but look, I just told him the other day. I said, I'm writing Bible studies. I'm writing devotionals. He said, see, God is using you even in the midst of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like hearing that. Nobody likes to hear that kind of thing. You know, when you're sitting in a wheelchair, you're being pushed around and, oh, but God is using you. Who wants to hear that? Nobody. You know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's easy for you to say you can get up and run around, you know. But God had to slow me down so I can learn his goodness.
We've talked about that. When someone is experiencing extreme adversity, whether it be like you, physical pain or loss of a loved one or loss of a child or things like that, and you don't walk up to them and say, oh, but God is using you. They don't want to hear it. And a lot of times it's years later before people realize that, yes, God is using them. The whole issue of suffering is just so difficult because we do believe that God is good, and he is. But when I listen to you, and when non-believers listen to you, I'm sure they're thinking, wow, this is crazy. It is. It's a very difficult topic to deal with and to endure and to try to get across to other people. And you've done a fantastic job of it. And oh, my goodness. I will definitely be keeping you in my prayers. I can't imagine the suffering you've been through. I had foot surgery, but after 3 months, I was pretty well done. Did physical therapy and all that afterwards, but I mean, today, I'm not really having a problem with my foot. I cannot imagine what you've been through for all this time.
Words fail, basically. But it's God's faithfulness. And when I want to give up, he just, I love, love, love this. There's a couple things that I just fall back on. You know, Hebrews 4:16. When you run, you know, come into his throne room, right? We can walk into his throne room unashamed. We can find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. I always picture myself as a little girl running, throwing open the door of heaven. God, I'm here. You know, like a little girl, so excited to be there in her daddy's lap. I didn't have a daddy's lap to climb into. I didn't have anybody to hold me like that. And so I climb into my daddy's lap, and he holds me, and it hurts. And he just caresses me, and he takes my face in his hands, and he says, look at me, child. I love you. And then in my mind, I put my hands on his face, and I say, Daddy, I love you. You're my Abba Daddy. And it's that moment that I can endure, you know, that I really understand that Jesus endured the cross. And if I'm to be like him, Philippians 2:5, we're just had the same attitude of Christ. And it was through submission and obedience that he went to the cross for me. I am a sinner saved by grace. Why should I expect anything different? If his son had to obey to the cross, doesn't he want me? He's refining me, and that refining comes through submission and obedience. And for me, it's through suffering. So as I'm in the throne room with my Heavenly Father, I find peace. And you can't even explain it. This peace surpasses all understanding. I mean, there's absolutely no way to truly explain it until you've experienced it yourself. Let me talk about a platform. This is a platform. Suffering is a platform. You know, I'm writing. I'm talking with you. Now I'm consistently writing blogs. I'm consistently writing devotionals. Devotionals that are not only for my own. I find God, when I'm writing these devotionals and blogs, they're for me. But the Lord is saying, who's your audience? Those that are suffering. Because we get one another. who am I attracted to the most?
Exactly.
And if I'm sitting in an audience at a congregation, if I hear a testimony, you know, people share about their drug addictions and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I lived that way. I was never personally addicted to drugs, but that was all around me growing up. And so for me, praise God, they're out of that, but I'm more attracted to and desire to hear how God is working in somebody's life who's in a season of suffering. God has us meet together and connects us, and we pray for one another. And so wherever God has me go, he just has me put your ear to the ground and start listening. Start listening to them, pray for them, offer to pray for them right there. Who knows if they're a believer? Just said, share the gospel, share the message, share the hope. But the time is short.
Just like you're doing today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, did I ever see that I would be here? No. Do I want this for anybody? No. But I will say that my walk, and my family will tell you this, all of us, and that we have six, all six of us can say, if it weren't for suffering, we'd be a different people. So yes, we can say thank you, Lord, for the suffering, because we have grown. We have grown together. We have grown in our walk with the Lord. Do we have times of doubt? Yeah. That's normal. If you say you don't ever doubt, that's really not normal. Or when people, it's just like, just be real. Be real in your suffering. Be real in your fears. Be real in your doubt. Don't stay there, but be real and give it to the Lord. And his peace will wash over you, and he'll give you that. You know, the yoke is open. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. His definition of easy is a lot different than my definition of easy. I have to have the mind of Christ.
Well, thank you so much for sharing everything you shared with us today, Carrie Sue. My goodness, you shared your heart, and thank you so much for being as transparent as you were about some of your experiences, and may God continue to bless you in all of your ministries.
Thank you. God is good, and Patty, this was a joy and delight. To God be the glory. I just want
Amen.
To live to serve him, and I'm not saying that just to be platitude. No, I genuinely mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you. Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That's spelled pattisheene.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that, and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheen. Until next time, God bless you.